Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day today, and hope you guys are staying strong and healthy as you always are. And if you need anything, you know where to get a hold of us at healthmasters.com. And be sure to check out the product of the week, the D3 K2 10,000 IUs. On sale right now for over 20% off. Talked about it yesterday in detail, and it's on the front webpage if you want to check it out. Got some more articles I'm going to cover today in detail on it. And one of the first things, though, I did want to cover, because I covered this early last week when I told you guys that Scotland was putting in their new hate crime bill as far as hate speech. So anything you say that might, you know, slightly offend somebody, they can now deem it as hate crime. And they have been flooded, law enforcement has been flooded with complaints during the first 24 hours of the hate crime law. They said over 4,000 complaints were filed in the first 24 hours, which made the police in Scotland essentially realize that this is not sustainable, which is what I told you guys before. And essentially, I told you guys from the very beginning, and I told you yesterday, one of the things that they've been trying to do, and this is one of the banker boy globalist agendas that they do, is if they can change what people say and they can monitor and actually completely turn how people see things and speak of things and actually monitor speech, they can start controlling what people think, and then they control what people do. And this is exactly what they've done now. And it says, this is funny, it says, my understanding, there's also a number of online hate complaints recorded by the police in Scotland in the past 24 hours, with more than half of them still trying to be processed. The news has prompted critics of the hard-left Scottish National Party government to warn of police officers being overstretched. Conservative members of the Scottish Parliament said that because of the law, many thousands of minor crime incidences will not even be investigated, and serious crime will take the back burner now, because essentially everything is being focused on hate speech. And again, this is exactly what happens when you start having a rogue government. This is what happened now over there in Scotland. This is what happened now in the United States. I saw an article here earlier, and it was discussing essentially how the FBI arrested a couple in Loudoun County, Virginia, early last week for entering the Capitol building 3 years ago. You got to remember, guys, this is in 2021 now, January 6, 2021. They said essentially that the couple walked around the Capitol for 12 minutes, didn't break anything, didn't steal anything, didn't hit anybody, didn't do anything at all. But the FBI decided that essentially they needed to send an entire FBI SWAT team to raid them in the early AM to arrest them for trespassing 3 years ago on Capitol grounds. I mean, when a government goes rogue, they go rogue. And this is what we're watching right now. And again, this is another reason why it's so important to maintain your health, maintain your mind, maintain your body at all costs right now. I had a couple that actually came down from Michigan yesterday. Super, super nice couple. They went turkey hunting. Showed me the turkey that he got on his photos. Nice size turkey. And we were talking in general as far as about overall health. And he had lost a bunch of weight already. And it's funny because he was talking about how he followed what dad talked about as far as with just chicken and vegetables. And he had dropped his weight and got his weight back under control. And he's still in the process of losing more. And I was giving some tips and encouraging him how to continually burn body fat and some things to start dialing in. And what's interesting about it is, you know, when everybody starts to realize that our health is our own responsibility and what we do is up to us, you realize that you have to actually get involved with it. And that's what I think this frustrating part is that we've seen now with this whole thing of January 6th, because everybody got involved. Everybody protested a stolen election. And yet you have this rogue government now that's coming in and arresting people years and years and years ago, Dad. I mean, it's, I mean, what do you say to this? I mean,
the reality, Austin, is, I mean, it's the same thing when Israel hit the aid workers in basically it's psychological warfare.
We covered it yesterday.
You know, yeah. Now Israel's coming in and saying, if you just surrendered us and met our demands, oh, yeah, blah, 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 then we would have killed you.
They said if Hamas would have just, you know, done the ceasefire and would have just surrendered, if the terrorists would have not been doing terrorist stuff, then we wouldn't have killed the aid workers. That's what they're saying.
So they're blame shifting. They're saying, look, you know, we know we killed all these people and we had three separate Hellfire missile strikes into their convoy as they begged for help over the radio. Yeah. But it's their own fault.
Yeah.
It's their fault because they didn't.
Because the terrorists didn't surrender.
Yeah. That'd be like saying to you, because somebody's driving at 100 miles an hour on the interstate and they kill somebody, it's your fault because you didn't wave at them to tell them to slow down. I mean, wait a minute, none of this makes any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
And but again, that's exactly what they did with the USS Liberty when they strafed it 5,000 times and they tried to sink it. And they tried to drop the commandos on it to kill the rest of the crew. But then somebody got a help message out, please help, Israel's attacking us. And so they had to stop. And so all of a sudden now Israel's been caught with their hand in the cookie jar yet for the thousandth time.
Again.
And so, you know, a lot of people feel they were directly involved with the Kennedy assassination because he did not want Israel to have nuclear weapons. I could read a whole article on that on here today if you guys want me to. I may just pull it on up again. But the reality is that it never ends. You know, they're a rogue state. They're a Rothschild fiefdom. And they do whatever they want to do. And because of the Scofield Reference Bible, and we talked about this in depth yesterday, they seem to be able to get away with anything they want to get away with. And it's mind-boggling to me because if anybody else did this, if anybody else was involved in this kind of stuff, the world would be after them.
Oh, they descend upon
them. I mean, Zelensky's in there basically shelling Ukraine for 7-8 years. And of course, he doesn't run the country anyhow. He's a whatever. He's bought a $20 million residence from Prince Charles and Princess Diana.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not surprised. Dude, it takes a lot of work to spend billions of dollars, man. I mean, he's got to figure out how to spend all that money. That's a lot of money.
You know, if you try to spend $1 billion, you got to spend some time trying to figure out how to do it. Unless you start buying ships.
Yeah.
Ships get
the big yachts, yeah. The big boys.
The big boys.
And the big jets.
Yeah,
and
the big jets. You can eat through it pretty fast.
Gulfstream 750.
Yeah, that's about $80 million, I guess, but that's still not a billion.
That's still not a billion. Still got to buy a lot of those.
By the way, Terry, a friend of mine who's an attorney in Tallahassee, sent me this today, and it said, a team of 13 highly respected specialists in their fields actually published a study after taking biopsies of severely autistic children with major gut and bowel issues, finding high levels of inflammation with the measles vaccine. You know, this measles vaccine virus was in the gut and the bowel linings, but that was supposedly debunked, and the leader of that team, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, was ostracized for his findings, and he lost everything, including his high-ranking job career as a world-renowned hospital. However, several years later, the study was exonerated, but he was never apologized to and was never picked up by the media. Go figure. We're talking about the MMR vaccine now and autism. But I did find this article on here from the government. It's a government article, and it's talking about adverse side effects from the MMR vaccine and is it linked to autism. This is actually a pretty good article, but it's a little skewed as far as the wrong direction. But here's what I like. This is the part I like. The MMR vaccine is well-tolerated. Listen to this, okay? However, common adverse reactions include, you know, fever, mild rash, and severe febrile seizures. Wait a minute. It's well tolerated, but you have severe seizures from it, you know, for the children. And it says, you know, live attenuated measles vaccines become available, and it starts talking about what's going on. And then it starts talking about other, and it actually brings Wakefield into this conversation. That's why I wanted to bring it up. The possibility that the MMR vaccine caused autism was first raised by Andrew Wakefield and colleagues, you know, over 20 years ago. Wakefield had earlier conducted studies of possible role of measles, IBD, and in the work of bowel disease that led to the hypothesis how MMR vaccine could cause a gut pathology that could predispose children to central nervous system toxicity and possibly autism. All the hypothesis rested on the MMR vaccine induced bowel disorder, a possible link between the vaccine and bowel pathology. What's, you know, interesting about this, I've had so many people tell me who have children with autism, Austin, that their kids have all kinds of bowel issues.
Really?
In fact, to the point that some of these people have actually gone in and had fecal transplants done. I know that sounds weird. They actually take feces from somebody else and they implant it in the bowel of another human, trying to increase the amount of gut flora because the gut flora has been destroyed and the bowel lining has been destroyed.
Now, will the probiotic help without having to do all that like we have?
They've tried that before. It may or may not cause some, you know, remediation, but the problem is it's just a real problem with the replication of this vaccine, this virus inside of the gut lining. Wakefield's initial study suggested a possible link between the vaccines and measles and IBF was an epidemiological investigation that suggested measles-containing vaccines increased the risk of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. However, a subsequent study by some of the other authors did not find an association. So, again, a lot of this is based upon how they put these studies together. And it says the Wakefield's research on measles virus and IBDF evolved into a hypothesis that the measles vaccine, specifically the MMR vaccine, could lead to a new syndrome of gastrointestinal pathology and neurodevelopmental regression. Remember, the gut and the brain are directly linked. So it's a very big issue here. So if this is all out here and it's all smoking, we got a smoking gun here with possibilities of this occurring, why would you give a child an MMR vaccine? That's the question here. It's not a question of who's right or who's wrong here. If, you know, if I give you a glass of water that, you know, that has toxins in it, and I give you a glass of distilled water that basically doesn't have toxins in it, and they both look identical as far as looking them up at the light. You can't tell which is which, and then I mix them up together, and I spin them around so you don't know which was which. Why would you take either of them? Am I making sense here? I'm asking you a question. Am I making sense? Why would you drink either? Well, why don't you just get some fresh distilled water and pour a new glass full and take the other two and pour them out? That's the problem here, isn't it? And when you have a group of scientists like this, I mean, dozens of scientists are involved in this, and now they're trying to come in and disprove what Wakefield had to say. Why? Because they're trying to just – here's the question you have to ask yourself, and Austin, I'll ask your feedback on this. You get a study like this that's using a bunch of gut pathology and a whole bunch of scientists at a major university that's basically spending millions of dollars on this study that's being paid for by guess who? The vaccine manufacturers. And they tell the manufacturers tell this research team, this is the result that we're looking for. Can you try to fix this in such a way that we get this result on this study? You say, well, that would never happen. Really? Really? Are you another flim fam flary tales? I mean, doctors are being paid billions of dollars, you know, for unnecessary medical testing and the development of medical products every single year in the United States as basically, I can't call them a kickback or a payoff, but as a financial incentive from these manufacturers.
Oh, yeah.
Happens all the time. So you have to ask yourself a question, you know, is that possible this has fallen into this, especially after Wakefield came out with all the stuff. And, you know, and it says that Wakefield's continued to develop and promote his hypothesis, and he has claimed that the combination of developmental regression and gastrointestinal disorders following MMR vaccine is a new syndrome that he has called autistic enterocolitis. Studies have also attempted to evaluate the emergence of the new syndrome consistent with autistic enterocolitis, including developmental regression and gastrointestinal disorders. Now, again, I'm asking you a question. If you've got kids at home and you know that this is a study that's being done from both sides, why in the world would you take a chance of injecting a child with an MMR vaccine at 18 months when we see the lights go out on so many of these kids, and now we have tens of millions of children in the United States right now and in the world that are affected with neurodevelopment disorders that are being linked back to these injections we're giving them, and also to the food and to the gut and to prenatal nutrition and a lot of other things. So to me, if you've got 25 different possibilities of causing this, why don't we just check them all off and not do them? That's how I'm seeing it. Measles is not something that's, you know, serious in most cases. You get kind of uncomfortable for a few days. Mumps isn't serious. So if you're doing MMR and rubella is virtually unheard of. So if you have a disease that pretty has been eradicated anyhow, why are you worried about injecting vaccines for it if these types of problems are consistent with the research and are consistently being researched as far as causing autism? Just thought I'd bring that up to you guys today, because I used to, back in the 90s, Austin, when I was doing all that secular radio and TV and doing the seminars, man, I was told by many, 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 you know, producers and talk shows, you don't bring this up. You don't talk about autism and vaccines ever on this broadcast. Talk about the top 10 foods never to eat, but you don't go there with vaccines and autism. And when you did, oh my gosh, especially on a big show like out of Atlanta, you would stir up a controversy. I mean, the people in these universities would get mad about telling people not to eat hydrogenated oils back then, and that butter was better than margarine. You can't say stuff like that. Well, it was true, and now it was proven to be true years later. But the reality is, if Wakefield's coming out here and risking his entire career, he's world renowned. If he's risking his entire career and he has no financial incentive to promote the MMR vaccine, I'm going with Wakefield on these studies personally. What do you think, Austin?
Well, the thing that's very strange, I'm actually looking this up right now, some more information on it because I wanted to get more updates. The crazy part about this is, so you saw this big push for measles recently, right? You said, oh, there's these measles cases all across the country. There's like 50 kids that got measles all across the United States. So everybody needs to get their MMR shot. Here's the problem. You can pull it up right here. Can you get a single measles vaccine? No, there is no single measles vaccine license or available for use in the United States. It has to be coupled with the MMR. Here's the problem that they're rolling out now, and nobody realizes this. The MMR, the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, Merck, is now developed and is licensed and actually is getting approval for the first RNA MMR vaccine. Yes, they're rolling out RNA gene therapy MMR shots now that a lot of people don't even realize is happening. And what's crazy about this is there's already been enough research that shows that RNA gene therapy is not safe under any circumstances for human beings when you look back at what's gone on with the COVID shot. And now we're going to run the MMR shot for children 6 months old and up, which is already a very dangerous shot, coupled together, and now we're going to turn it into RNA gene therapy. and a triple vaccine. This is unheard of, but yet here we go again, rolling it out because this is what they do. And so, again, I always encourage people, do your research before you start running all these shots on your kids. I know some families that have decided to defer a lot of these shots until the kids start getting older and decide if they really are going to need them when they start going to certain school systems or they get religious exemptions. Again, it's your choice what you decide to do. But I can tell you right now, there's been a whole lot of side effects that have continually shown up with these shots on a regular basis. And again, something you got to decide what you want to do as far as with your children. Also, too, in other news, bird flu been detected in cattle and in an egg facility. They're now saying that one of the largest fresh egg producers in the United States finds bird flu in chickens at Texas and Michigan plants. They're now saying they've essentially had to halt all production at the Texas plant after bird flu was found in the chickens, and now they're saying it spread to cattle as well. Over 1.6 million laying hens essentially are going to have to be destroyed because of the avian influenza. Now, what's interesting about this is, I'm not saying this isn't happening, very well could be happening, but I do find it very strange that you constantly have seen this. You saw this last year, a year and a half ago. You started seeing all these issues with mad cow disease again. You saw bird flu. All these chickens had to get butchered. And every single time you start seeing this, it slowly reduces the population of the food supply as far as, you know, chickens and cows and everything in between. Yet at the same time, you have Bill Gates bringing out the fake meat and the fake eggs. And what's crazy about this is when you start doing enough research, you start realizing that essentially the government, one of the most effective things a rogue government can do is control the food supply. My buddy sent me this yesterday. It was interesting. He said, Stalin, listen, over in Russia, Stalin called the farmers enemies of the people. By going in, the state took control of all food production. Then 7 million Russians starved to death. Now, 100 years later, the World Economic Forum is opening the war on farmers again. You see up in Canada right now. This is very interesting. Canada is back in another giant protest because of carbon tax that went up 23% on essentially everything involving, I guess you could say, freedom. The increase to Canada's controversial carbon tax has gone to effect Monday, leading many in the country who are struggling financially to take to protesting the 23% hike in the cost. The climate change cult tax is levied directly against numerous carbon-based energy sources, including diesel, propane, natural gas, indirect prices, including on food, clothing, and virtually all other goods that touch those items. This has caused many Canadians to take to the streets and describe the already insane cost of living crisis and how the drain on their finances is becoming more and more negative. They said, in addition, the tax is really hurting college students and young adults because you now have a 23% increase in carbon tax, which goes on to everything. A lot of people don't realize, they fail to realize that diesel touches everything. It does. Everything touches diesel. Everything's transported at some point in time. Essentially, everything touches diesel. So what they've done now, these banker boys and these individuals that are running the show behind the scenes, as they continually pull this whole green energy, carbon tax, we got to start taxing everything more and more and more and more, they realize that one of the easiest things to do is control the price of diesel. Run it up, run it down, control it, short it, long it, whatever you want to do with it, but continue to make it really, really expensive because it makes everything get more pricier when you start having diesel prices go up. And so, again, it's exactly what I just brought up with Stalin. He said the farmers were enemy of the people. They controlled the food. They starved the Russians. What are they doing now here in the United States? What are they doing now here in Canada? This is why it's so important. I've said this repeatedly. Make sure you have some backup food supply, whether it's beans, whether it's rice, whether it's MREs, whether it's the organic food buckets that we have. Get something as a backup. I just say that sincerely because you never want to be in a position where something goes sideways and there's no food at all in the pantry and you essentially have to go to Walmart.
Well,
to go fight the hordes.
Well, you know, you can do canned foods too.
But yeah, canned foods.
But
as well.
You got to eat the stuff. You got to rotate it.
You got to rotate.
Otherwise, it's going to expire.
Absolutely.
I mean, the other day I went in the pantry and I found some canned peas. They expired for 2 years. And I'm like, that's nice.
That's disappointing.
Well, I cooked them and threw them away very quickly. They were bad.
You try them?
I kind of tasted them. No, I didn't really try them, but they were bad and they were very mushy. course, Campese aren't really known for the bastion of health to start.
Yeah, I mean, that's not,
you know it's interesting.
2 years old is pretty rough.
Yeah, it was 2 years expired, so it was rough. So it rotates.
Well, that's why the food bucks. I always tell people the organic food bucks we have, those got a 20-year life expectancy on them.
Yeah, I'd rather do the food buckets honestly, because that way you just set it and forget it. And be
there you go.
It. Yeah, and you get organic food buckets with 20-year life. You know, you're 50 years old. Okay, you don't have to mess with them until you're 70. So when you're 69 years old, donate them to the local place that you want to donate them to. Go buy some more, and you got another 20 years. Now you're set until 90, and you're good. So I mean, whatever, you know. But I'm kind of joking around, but I'm not. It's just the canned foods are the pits when they go bad. And because, you know, you don't want botulism out of those things either. They start getting all puffy looking. And these weren't puffy.
If you can't swell up, don't eat them.
If you can't swell up, you just toss them. By the way, Robert Kennedy, you know, I kind of was hoping he was going to be something better than he was. But he's had kind of a strange, how should I say, he's got a lot of stuff about him that's kind of negative. He's kind of a hardcore liberal, but then he's kind of not. Robert Kennedy's vice president choice, by the way, is a bit more interesting. The wife of Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google, who has a net worth of $121 billion. This would represent the ultimate in corporate control, given her experience and expertise is that of the hard left attorney. She's a hard lefter. Her bio reads like a World Economic Forum testament. She's completely all about feminism, reproductive longevity, criminal justice policy to end discrimination, and bring equity into the judicial system, regenerative agriculture. In other words, she wants you to eat crickets, like bugs. I'm surprised roaches haven't made this list yet. And so on. Climate control, et cetera, et cetera. Kennedy couldn't have found a more left-leaning progressive unless he inserted Hillary Clinton. Nicole Shanahan has worked with the Open Philanthropy Project in defunding the police. She has coordinated with her charity, BioEcho Foundation, with the Zuckerberg initiatives, and heavily involved with all the classic NGOs aligned with the Great Reset, including the World Economic Forum, thus revealing this is Kennedy's platform as well, and leaving no doubt. Oddly, no one is pointing out the obvious, and suddenly it appears that maybe Kennedy has become the nominee the entire time. Apparently, Kennedy has overnight become the charmer, the rock in the midst of chaos, the game changer, the one who can unify everyone the American hero needs, and Kennedy steps in as Biden's replacement while Brandon is wheeled off stage left and takes a permanent residency at the sanitarium. They're talking about Biden, not Brandon. You know, whatever.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon. This has been their creation. It is somewhat of a brilliant plan. Enter into the fray a name that intrigues everyone for its history. Test the waters. Have him maintain a low profile. No media is allowed to touch him. Can't be any kind of debate. Have him concede an issue so that he appears neutral and unbiased. Start the media play of Biden's declining mental acumen. The moment Kennedy picks his dark swan VP, use media hype to make him look like the savior. Boom. Piste de resistance. The family feud contentious is over. Kennedy's right-wing attitude about vaccinations in order to appeal to the libertarians on the fence. Not bad. Except Nicole is a diehard, far-left, communist, leftist, World Economic Forum devotee that will estrange every conservative and libertarian female voter. Therefore, Kennedy's win would have to include some election funnies, given he is not saleable to the MAGAs. And there were never enough Bidens to be worth converting. This is really a good article, by the way. Certainly no one wants to believe that Robert Kennedy would sell out America, and perhaps he truly believes that giving the country over to the World Economic Forum's corporate stakeholders is the only viable solution. But that's not what he said or representative, and that is not representational of the vast majority of Americans. And this article goes on to say, I was wooed for a little while, but then I found various media interviews that contradicted other media interviews, and pretty soon it appeared that he had rescripted his talking points to meet the parties halfway. We were vulnerable, and we wanted him to be the real thing, but when he clarified his intent to never consider any appointment from Trump, his motives began to take a bit of a sinister twist. Wow. So I'm going to finish letting you read this yourself, but I guess Kennedy's off the list now, because we had mentioned him the other day. Now that he has a World Economic Forum vice president nominee flunky with her, whose husband's a billionaire. Wow, what a mess, huh? And so again, as the giant circus show continues with the 25-ring circus clowns everywhere, I like the way they say they're going to have Biden escorted off stage left and put into a sanitarium. Yeah, that's about where he belongs. So this is a sad, sad state of affairs that we have in the United States when my favorite president, you hardcore leftists and Democrats and people who really want to have the country brought back, my favorite president was John F. Kennedy. Reagan was number two. Reagan would have been number one if they hadn't tried to shoot him a month into the office and basically kept him drugged up and haven't signed this vaccination. But the reason we're in this whole thing with the vaccines, by the way, that I mentioned earlier in the show, is that Reagan gave them exemptions as they can't be sued. So they can do whatever they want to do, and they can't be sued. And the reason he had to do that, the reason he did that, so he said, was because they were being sued out of existence for autism and mental disorders in children and all kinds of side effects from the vaccines, which is something that they should have been aware of before they put these vaccines on the market, in which they were aware of in many cases. And that's why they were being sued, because they went ahead and pushed this stuff to market, killing a lot of these kids and injuring a lot of these children, knowing full and well their vaccines were dangerous. I'm just saying that. That's why Reagan had to give them immunity. So, and then, of course, he passed the laws against having machine guns and all the other stuff, because he was in a stupid state, you know, on drugs for, you know, 8 years after his shooting. And George H., the smart one, he was a pretty smart boy. He basically was running the White House for that 8 years and for four more years afterwards. So it's been an interesting journey watching this stuff unfold during my lifetime. But sadly, you know, Lou Rockwell, in this commentary that he has by Helena Glass, she's absolutely right. I think they did it to us again. Remember, you know, the old Who song, Meet the Old Boss, Same as the New Boss. I need to play that once. I think it wasn't 12 minutes long. I'd play it on the show one day. That's actually probably one of the greatest rock songs of all time.
It is a good song.
And but you think, well, you listen to rock very rarely because of the weird stuff they have. And plus, I always make sure I know what the lyrics are before I even listen
There's
to
There's some good songs, though.
There are some good ones out there. Okay, what do you think, bud?
But no, you're 100% spot on. That's one of the biggest things Reagan did, was an epic fail with signing the Firearm Owner Protection Act from 1986, preventing us from being able to purchase
and the vaccine
machine guns after 1986, and the Vaccine Protection Act. Those two things were monumental in causing an enormous amount of essentially injuries and death with the vaccines. And then on top of that, preventing the United States general population, civilians, being able to have a standard militia-based firearm platform. And that's essentially what they've done now. So now you try to get, you know, say an M60, they're $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 now. You could pick one up pre-86 for $4,000 or $5,000. And yeah, that's where we're at now in this country. So again, other news as well. Also too, I saw this article here. Speaking of vitamin D, a new article came out now, and it talked about how vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin, is a fat soluble vitamin and also a hormone, and it can be obtained nutritionally, and it also is synthesized through sunlight exposure. What's interesting though is it says vitamin D deficiency is the most prevalent nutritional deficiency affecting people of all ages globally now. The number one nutritional deficiency is vitamin D3. They said in the United States, nearly one quarter of all individuals now have insufficient or deficient vitamin D blood levels, which impact bone and overall health along with the immune system. Said approximately 50% of children between ages 1 to 5 and 70% of children ages 6 to 11 have D3 deficiency. And this is crazy because there's multiple factors that talks about here. It says insufficient sunlight exposure, dietary intake, and essentially all the other aspects with food now that's gotten very, very poor. And what's crazy about this is we've watched now, you know, generation after generation be outside less and less and less. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I didn't really ever stay inside. I lived outside. I mean, I was always outside. I didn't go inside much at all unless it was a rainy day. You know, then we had like a Nintendo 64 that I had bought. That was, you know, the pinnacle of video games back then for a few hours. And then it was back outside again when the rain stopped. And what's crazy now is the vast majority of the kids don't even really go outside much at all. You know, they don't even realize when the weather's great. You know, yesterday we had a really wild storm, really windy down here in Florida. But it got really cool. It's going to be cool. It's going to be like the 50s, the low 50s for the next couple of days, which is actually nice. And what's interesting about it is, though, it just gives you another excuse to go outside and get some sun, go for a walk, go for a jog, go down to the lake, go fishing, just walk around in general outside. It's natural. It's healthy. It's something you need to do. Because what happens is the vitamin D production really decreases when you don't get any sunlight. And that's why it's really important to make sure you're maintaining supplemental dosage of the vitamin D3, because it can cause fatigue, bone and muscle pain, muscle weakness, cramps, mood changes, bone loss, and a host of other things with D3 being deficient in the body. So be sure to stay stocked up on that. Make sure you're keeping your body as strong as possible with the proper supplementation. That's why it's one of the number one products that we talk about on a regular basis. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. I was reading an article here earlier. It was talking about how there's a bunch of groups that now are suing the FDA over livestock drugs that are banned or restricted in over 160 countries. This is crazy. They said the FDA last week was now sued in federal court in a bid to force the agency to ban or reduce the allowable levels of widely used livestock growth drug that the group said caused harm to humans, animals, and the environment. is this ractopamine, banned or restricted in over 160 countries, is heavily used in the U.S. and the industrial livestock producers to rapidly grow muscles in cows, pigs, and turkey. They said the complaint that the drug has been shown to cause a host of adverse effects in the animals, not to mention also causes heart and respiratory issues in the meat consumer. The groups, multiple groups now that are involved in this, have been in this lawsuit now for years, and they've said now that essentially until the FDA can prove this is actually safe, the best solution is to act urgently to protect human health, animal, and environmental health by granting these petitions and blocking these drugs. And what's crazy about this, like I said earlier, 160 other countries have banned this drug, yet United States, business as usual, don't worry about it. But there's a lot of food coloring that's banned over in Europe as well. They're blocking it and banning it because it's so toxic to the body. It's crazy because there was an article the other day, I don't have it in front of me, but it was showing how ketchup, Heinz ketchup, where in UK they had regular ketchup and it had sugar, tomato, vinegar, spices, that was it. Then they show the Heinz ketchup here in the United States and we have the tomato puree with high fructose corn syrup and a host of other ingredients. It's like twice as long. And what's crazy about this is if you've tried both of them, you'll find that the more natural ketchup is much better tasting. But yet, they, for some odd reason in the United States, push the ketchup with high fructose corn syrup and MSG in it because why? It makes everything much more addictive and much more toxic. That's why people eat more fries than they do normally in the United States than they do in other countries. Because you start dipping those fries in high fructose corn syrup, where high fructose corn syrup actually increases the production of ghrelin in the body. Ghrelin is a hunger hormone. It makes you hungrier. That's why they put high fructose corn syrup in literally everything. When you stack high fructose corn syrup with MSG, it makes it even more effective because the MSG is an excitotoxin. It stimulates the brain, makes you excited. It's a stimuli. It's a dopamine trigger from the MSG, while at the same time, you're eating the high fructose corn syrup, which is stimulating ghrelin, making you hungrier. So you get hungrier and you get your dopamine trigger while you're eating this crap. And then people wonder why they get so addicted to it. Imagine that.
It is crap.
It is. It's garbage. Crap. I mean, that's why it's banned in so many countries.
You know, it causes fatty liver disease.
Oh, yeah.
And all kinds of health problems, all kinds of blood chemistry problems. It's a bad product. I was reading this article a little bit further here about Kennedy. And I'm going to just say this. This is interesting. I had forgotten about this, honestly. Historically, the Kennedys were never clean. They were actually bootleggers, some people say. They were always
– a lot of people were bootleggers
during Prohibition. But they were always charismatic and wealthy from bootlegging. Thought I'd mention that. A combination that is tough to beat. The Achilles heel is the fact that the youth market, the people that are like younger, they have no idea who the Kennedys are.
Really?
Well, no, they don't know who they are. Do you think Generation Z cares about who John F. Kennedy was? They're too busy doing TikTok, doing funny dances,
true.
Okay? And so the Achilles heel is that the youth market have no idea who the Kennedys are or were, and they don't even care. He just looks like another old guy, which I think is funny. That was funny, but he's an old guy in really good shape. He is in good shape.
He's in great shape.
Okay. His draw, the seniors, people probably over the age of 50, they're still enamored with Robert Kennedy's dad and uncle. Despite the family ghosts, I'd forgotten about this one, the ghost in the closet remains Rosemary. No, you never heard of Rosemary, Austin.
I have not.
You have not. And that's where she was a rebellious child. She was kind of a brat. You know, she was raised basically as a trust fund baby. And the family was concerned that Rosemary might act out in a way that could embarrass the family. So they had her lobotomized.
Oof.
Yeah.
That was a dark part in history when that was going on.
And when she became completely incapacitated because she decided she wanted to tell people how she felt about the Kennedy family and everything else. They decided to go ahead and lobotomize her. And so I've gone ahead and posted her Wikipedia page in there. And they said that she was in her 20s when they lobotomized her, and her dad, who was a real nightmare, did this to her. And of course, it dropped her to about the age of a 2-year-old. She could no longer walk or talk and control her bowels. She was like a baby for the rest of her life, and she lived to be in her 80s. So she lived 60 years in that condition. But basically, the doctor who lobotomized her, he actually said he didn't think that she was had some serious problem. He just felt as though she was having problems with depression, probably being married to a family who made their money through bootlegging and who were a bunch of hypocrites. Just thought I'd say that. Or she could have been a conservative, I guess. But the doctor, the lobotomizer, said that in his opinion that Kennedy did not have mental retardation, but rather a form of depression. A review of all the papers written by the two doctors confirmed Watts' declaration. All of the patients, the two doctors who lobotomized, were diagnosed as having some type of mental disorder. So she could have had depression. She could have had bipolar disorder. I don't know. But no matter what she had, She did not deserve to be
lobotomized. She deserved that, man. No. The lobotomies were a dark time in science, dude, when they actually
They still do them.
Yeah, they do, but it's golly, yeah, but, you know, man. They did it for like everything.
Well, they did convulsive electrical convulsions, shock therapy, they did lobotomies. If you watch that movie, and I don't recommend it because it's really dark. If One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson, they lobotomized him in that movie, and it was showing what they were doing and what they had done to so many people, you know, who basically were involved with this. Another article here. Four more Christians are found guilty over prayer gathering at a Nashville abortion clinic. They're up to maybe spending a year in jail. It is likely the Department of Justice, almost need to call it the Department of Injustice, will be throwing an elderly survivor of a communist concentration camp into a federal prison for sitting in a wheelchair in the hallway of an abortion business and singing church hymns and praising God.
Unbelievable.
And, you know, you think about this for a second. The abortion business closed after a change in Tennessee laws prohibiting abortion in most cases. The four found guilty were Eva Zastro, 25, and then, of course, it was an Eva LD, 89, of South Carolina, who was in a wheelchair the day of the incident. And she basically was moved around in communism. She is a longtime peaceful activist at abortion clinics, motivated by her traumatic childhood in communist Yugoslavia. She was removed from her home with her family from the communists, and they were allowed to keep only a dish and the clothing they wore. She recalls being stuffed into a cattle car and shipped to a camp where she nearly starved to death while you watched the people around her die. We were considered to be non-humans, with just permission given for torturing and killing us by the government, Edie told an interview with WJBF television in 2018. Our government's legalizing abortion does not make it right or good, she told the TV. If it is right for the American government to legalize the killing of innocent human beings inside the womb, preformed babies, then why do we condemn the Nazis who also legalized the extermination of born people, Jews, gypsies, and others, all unwanted individuals, she said. If it is a good thing to kill human beings, just as long as the government says so, then we have no right to condemn anyone else. But all we know deep down that these things are all evil. Nobody's life is ultimately safe in a nation ruled by someone who does not respect all human life from conception to natural death, she continued. It will just depend on who is in power and whose whim will dictate who is permitted to live and who is going to be exterminated. She called and she compared abortion businesses to death camps. When I was in the cattle car with all my people, we were shipped to the death camp to be exterminated. But people around us were not in agreement with what the government was doing, but they were intimidated, she said. We have to overcome the fear and do what is right anyhow. I wished in those days that somebody would have cared enough to go stand on the railroad tracks and say, you cannot take these babies and children unless you go over our dead bodies. That's an intense story, Austin.
That is.
And, you know, and so the sad part about it is this abortion debate continues to rage on and on and on and on. I personally believe that life begins at conception because that's when the sperm and the egg go together and the spark of life. It literally is a spark, like a arc that comes off the egg as it's being fertilized. When I believe God imparts his life into it and the soul into it. So I believe life begins at conception. By the way, Zelensky, the guy who just bought his $20 million mansion over there in England, is now lowering the draft age into Ukraine to shore up Ukraine's depleted army so he can kill more people in Ukraine. So all of this stuff, again, is so much obfuscation that nobody really understands or realizes if any of it's even true. All I know is he bought a $20 million mansion from Prince Charles. And where in the world is he getting all this money from? Oh, that's right. We've given Ukraine hundreds of billions of dollars.
Come on,
and he's
man.
In charge of it. Not to mention his dealings with Hunter Biden and
I
Joe Biden.
Thank you, lady. Thank you, letter, dude.
Yeah, that's right.
I would like a thank you letter. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Oh, by the way, the Navy is now revealing that major shipbuilding delays as global war risk is elevated. Well, Navy, I think you need to contact these shipbuilders to make sure they hire more transgenders. What do you think, Austin?
Hey, DEI, man, at its finest. I mean,
I want you to put me a welding seam here. What's a welding seam? Yeah, okay. We got rivets here. We got to make sure these rivets are there. What's a rivet? All right. You don't know what a rivet is? Why are you being mean to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would I know what a rivet is? Obviously, I don't know what a rivet is. Why are you being mean? I want my Play-Doh. I want a puppy. I want to have another horse.
I
got
to go on
shot.
A break now. I got to go on break.
I need to go on a break. Can you just give me something that I can play with for the next 4 or 5 hours? And again, I say this stuff, and I'm probably being a little callous here because these people have serious mental conditions. And when they start doing these surgeries, these kids, and start putting these children on these drugs, you know, at the age of 7, 8 years old against parental advice, especially places like California, are these children allowed to run away and go to a home safe for transgender children? And it's all legal in California, supposedly nowadays, you start to realize that this is a serious problem that we have in the United States. And the sad part about it is is that when you don't take a look at what's happening here as what, from a health standpoint, you start to realize this. There's an article that says leaked files from Transgender Association, shocking and horrific admissions, according to the study and that was released. I mean, this is crazy. It says that the WPATH files show that what is called gender medicine is neither science nor medicine. This goes back to lobotomies, as far as I'm concerned, except you're removing reproductive organs. Mr. Schellenberger said in a statement, the experiments are not randomized, double-blinded, or controlled. It's not medicine, since the first rule is do no harm, and that requires informed consent. The files are shocking admission by WPATH doctors and other medical practitioners, privately acknowledging they're not getting proper informed consent from parents and children before proceeding with gender transition treatments and surgeries, prominent civil rights attorney Hermit Dillon told the Epoch Times. Mr. Dillon, the founder and CEO of the Center for American Liberty, which is representing several women who have allegedly suffered harm and irreversible damage as a result of WPATH's recommendations of transgender surgery for gender dysphoric children and young adults, called the expose an important act of journalism. This gets really, really, really disturbing in what they're doing to these kids. I'm not going to read any more of it. I posted it the other day, but I'm going to repost it again so you guys can see it in the Health Masters news feed. But guys, this is really messed up in the head. This is like right up there with lobotomies. This is right up there with all the other things that they do. This is right up there with putting people on tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin reuptake inhibitors and benzodiazepines and causing massive changes in brain chemistry and not allowing that person to be who that person is by keeping them basically sedated under chemistry and what they do with the brain. Now, I'm not saying that in some cases some psychiatric drugs aren't helpful or useful, but the vast majority of the compounds were designed to be used for a short period of time, Austin. We've talked about this so many times. Instead of having somebody be on these drugs for decades, if not entire lifetimes, to be very careful if you decide to do any of this stuff and take any of these drugs. And guys, read this article on the transgender horror stories that I'm going to post right now in the event that you have friends and forward it to them so they can read it, who have children who have a problem with gender dysphoria. This is not a joke at this point. You got to be very careful, because to me, this is absolutely like what they did to Rosemary Kennedy with that postfrontal lobotomy. And you know,
this is permanent.
This is permanent.
It's permanent.
And you're going to and that's why you have a massive increase in suicide rates after these procedures are performed. Because if you got a kid who's 5 years old who doesn't know if he's a boy or girl, all right, whatever. Give him until 18. Let him make that choice at 18.
Yeah, man, get him some help, get him some support, but don't sit there and be like, all right, well, you need to go on cross-sex hormones. You know, let's injecting you with estrogen or a female. The crazy one is when they start taking girls that are 12, 13 years old, and they're like, hey, we're going to put you on testosterone injections at 13 years old. You know, it'll be good for you because you want to be a boy. We're going to put you on test injections. That boggles my mind that that's even remotely approved, even discussed. The fact that it's even a topic that is talked about of something that's okay, and we're going to take a 12-year-old girl and start putting her on testosterone. Great idea. It's nuts, man.
Well, I want to read one more excerpt from this article. And I like Jordan Peterson. I don't agree with everything he says, but I like him. Smart man. He's also on psychiatric drugs, so whatever. He's a Canadian psychologist and author. He used to be, I don't know if he still is or not. He talks about what's happened with WPATH, and he goes, I thought maybe people were exaggerating what was happening, he said. Then a source of sources gave him 170 pages of internal files from the discussion boards of WPATH, along with a video of WPATH leaders and members talking about some of the problems they were encountering. These files put to rest any doubts anybody should have what is happening in one of the greatest medical mistreatment scandals in human history, he said. It might be worse. It's certainly up there with lobotomies. That's why I said this.
Yep.
And it's up there with the Tuskegee experiments. Mr. Peterson responded, it's way worse than both of these, lobotomies and the Tuskegee experiments. I think you're saying, okay?
Yeah.
The WPATH files show without a shadow of doubt that the people who are performing these mistreatments are not getting informed consent, and that they are just they just sort of throw up their hands and they say, we really don't know how to solve this problem. At no point in the video does anybody say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. This is a horror story. But then from an intellectual level, you can't help but slightly be fascinated with these people. What is wrong with them? And what is so grip of this ideology? Why are they doing these mistreatments and never questioning that perhaps they shouldn't be doing them at all? Wow. Mr. Peterson makes reference to Mr. Zucker. A psychology study showed that 88% of 2 to 12-year-olds in two separate studies of boys and girls clinically referred to experiencing gender dysphoria at some time in their life. 88% of these young kids, because they're confused. They haven't got their hormones yet. And so and who are not socially transitioned, 88%. And here's the quote from Mr. Peterson. Leave them the hell alone until they're 18, Mr. Peterson said.
Go, man.
The man who established that Ken Zucker – He ran the best journal and dealt with childhood gender dysphoria for years in Toronto. That was his recommendation for treatment. And the bloody radicals ran him out of business 10 years ago. Leave them alone until they're 18. He's absolutely right. Because a lot of kids, Austin, get screwed up, especially in elementary school and middle school.
Well, and some of these perverted teachers are the ones that are pushing the topic.
You have transgender counselors to show up.
They're pushing this stuff all the time.
Maybe you're a little boy, maybe you're a little girl. You don't know what you are. They confuse
these kids. It takes it a step further in the scientific community, because the thing is, informed consent doesn't really even exist with this topic now, because you're taking a 12 and 13 year old girl. She has no understanding of what happens when she starts injecting testosterone in her body. Oh, these may be some side effects, but they're going to turn you into a boy. So they're not really side effects. They're what you want. There's no concept of informed consent.
And yesterday we talked about how that now they want to have transgender surgeries. They have both reproductive parts.
Yeah,
that's how confused they are.
I don't even know where to go with that one.
Oh my gosh. And again, sometimes we joke about this a little bit, but the reality is this is not a joke. This is happening to thousands of kids around the United States.
It's horrible.
And again, it goes right back to the belief of a lot of these people who are doing these surgeries. These are Kabbalists. These are Luciferian synagogue of Satan Kabbalists. I know several of them. And what they do basically is they come in and they believe that their highest expression of love for their God is to create a transgender species or to allow a person to become a transgender. So they want to push this agenda, because what it does, it destroys the nuclear family to a point that it cannot be restored. It can't be fixed. These kids are never going to have kids. They're going to be sterilized. And always remember that, guys. When this kind of stuff happens at a very, very young age, you know, these children are making lifetime decisions in a theta brainwave state in some cases, in which their brains aren't even gelled up or formed yet. It takes between the age of 23 to 26. Personally, I think before you had any kind of government aid into any of these types of transition surgeries, I think the person would be 25 years old. I think they'd be older than 18. Now, if they want to do it at 18, that's their own choice if their own insurance wants to cover it. But for we as the government, we the people are paying for this stuff, which we are. This is insane. We need to figure out, you know, what to do here with these people. I'd wait until they were 25 years old, because if you're going to reach concrete rational thought, you're going to hit it around 23, 24, 25. But Maslow said this in his hierarchy of needs. Most people never reach concrete rational thought. They can't think through that their actions, and they don't have fluid ability to say, if I do this, this is going to happen. Just maybe if I transition here at 23 years of age, if they're not in concrete rational thought, I'll be a happier person. They're never happier with this type of surgery. And that's why the suicide rate is through the roof. And then they go back 5 years later, they go, well, I want to fix this mess that I did.
Done, bro.
I'll never forget. It was a 60 Minutes show one time, and there's a little boy who basically was circumcised. This is a crazy story. And the doctor basically cut off his penis by mistake.
That's horrible. That's a horrible story starting off.
No. And the little boy, so they converted him to a little girl. They told him he was a little girl. This is a true story. And so they're interviewing this kid when he's 18 years old, and he said, yeah, I didn't know what was going on. They're putting me in dresses. I want to play with trucks. And he got a Y chromosome. And no, this was unbelievable what they did to this kid. And it completely messed him up the rest of his life, because the doctor was so arrogant to cover up his mistake. Oh, we'll just fix this. We'll make this easy.
Horrible, dude.
No, I mean, so I couldn't believe that story came out. You guys can look it up and send it to me. I'll push it on a link. But the reality is, this is something that happens sometimes by mistake, by accident. But when you're doing it intentionally like this to people, this is a nightmare, Austin. It's like a horror story, like you know, the
seventh level of hell. That's where they're going. Dante's Inferno. That's where they're going, man. I fully believe that. You can't do this to little children and get away with it in eternity. No. On a lighter note, in other news, Louisiana does it again. They're standing their ground. Louisiana Senate has now passed a bill unanimously. This is pretty wild. Louisiana state senators unanimously passed a bill that will block all international organizations, such as the World Health Organization, from having any power in the state of Louisiana. Now, we'll see how this goes if the Fed tries to do something again stupid like the COVID pandemic. It says Louisiana Senate passed Senate Bill 133 by a vote of 37-0. The measure will prohibit global entities of the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and the World Economic Forum from having any power or say-so in the Bayou State. The bill is introduced by Senator Thomas Presley and two co-sponsors. The bill also prohibits state and local offices from enforcing any of the rules, regulations, or mandates issued by these said organizations. This is actually one of the first states that I've seen that's actually done this.
The problem with any of these types of laws like this that are done by the state, the federal government just comes in and overrules them, and then it all goes back into the courts again. And if the courts have judges that are appointed by liberals, you have that problem with that again.
Yeah, so, but you see this now, what we're doing with the Fifth Circuit Court in Texas, because Texas is coming in, they're saying that they can regulate suppressors by the state, that they are essentially saying the ATF has no regulation with suppressors.
Well, that's
and the Fifth Circuit Court said, we agree with you on it.
Well, Montana said the same thing.
Montana did the same thing. And so it's really good. I like to see stuff like this, though, because it's really good when you see a state try to set a precedent like this of pretty much saying, listen, the federal government, yes, may allegedly have the authority after the Civil War. That's a whole other topic. But essentially, we're going to push back because it's, when you start having rules, especially this, when you have the World Health Organization and the United Nations coming in and unilaterally telling the United States what they have to do, I don't remember voting on the United Nations or World Economic Forum. Do you remember that was on the ballot?
Well, you know, Trump was going to disband the United Nations, and his, you know, he really thought he could do something when he first got in office.
Yeah.
He was the accidental president. Hillary was supposed to win, but they didn't hack the election enough, as far as I'm concerned.
He hammered down at the beginning, though.
Robert David Steele said that Trump was the accidental state. You know, I knew Robert David Steele. You know, he's passed away now, but you know, he from the COVID mess. I'm sure they probably put him on Remdesivir, bless his heart. But I don't know that for certain. But I knew him relatively well, and you know, we lost a lot of people through COVID. You know, we lost him. We lost Russ Dizdar. We lost Russ Dizdar's wife, and we lost a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people came down with COVID, and they were never the same. You know, a third of the people who came down with severe COVID ended up getting severe depression. I mean, on and on and on it goes. And so, like you said the other day, they really thought the COVID death toll was going to be much higher than it was.
Oh, absolutely.
Because alt media got involved in it, started pushing D3 and ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine,
vitamin C,
and vitamin C and zinc and all the rest. They didn't have the death rates they wanted to. When the death rates didn't hit the way they wanted to, there was always remdesivir.
Yep.
And so many people died in the hospitals with all that. So it's interesting. By the way, we covered this the other day. I want to cover it again. And this is something we talked about. Now, all of a sudden, they're coming out and saying it. Ultra-processed food, like ultra-processed milk, ultra-pasteurized.
Ultra-pasteurized, yes.
It's used as a ultimate soft kill weapon because of its lack of nutrients.
There you go.
And it says we can take toxic pharmaceutical prescriptions in the trash as fast as the doctors on the industry can write them. We can skirt 5G radiation via strategic relocation. As of now, most of technology's bioweapons disguised as medical therapies or technological conveniences can be avoided, albeit often at great personal expense and risk. But everybody has to eat and everybody has to drink water.
Yep.
They learned this in the concentration camps. And unless you're dredging your own well water, which I do, by the way, and growing your own food, which I'm going to try to do again, to the extent of complete independence, and even though there's no protection against soil depletion or GMO Franken-DNA blowing into your property from a nearby operation, the food and water supply is a target-rich environment for depopulation technocrats and the corporations, the NGOs, and governments in their back pockets to exploit. And then they start talking about sucralose. They start talking about aspartame. They start talking about titanium dioxide, red, yellow, red, you know, red 40, yellow 5, potassium bromate, BHA, BHT, and nearly any processed food item you buy in the supermarket is likely to be chock full of not but one but dozens of these toxic slew of synthetic ingredients. And they said brands like Nestle, PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, Unilever, Frito-Lay, Kraft Heinz, and Kellogg's are among the world's largest manufacturers of ultra-processed foods, chicken and vegetables. You know,
chicken, rice, and green
organic
beans.
Organic chicken,
laughs
organic
at me.
Vegetables, and just set it and forget it. Cook it at home. Get a rotisserie chicken that's organic from a local grocery store. Hormone free.
Stay away. Yes, I know it's boring. It's a boring meal.
It's a horrible, boring lifestyle as far as eating. And I have to admit this, but it is so healthy. It's like it keeps you cut up. It keeps you vascular. It keeps your blood chemistry perfect. And it is unbelievably boring. But then again, ask yourself a question: would you rather have this, with all the high fructose corn syrup and all the rest of this crazy stuff? Read this article. It's really a good one. I'd go into more detail, but it really goes into high fructose corn syrup and how much we're getting of that. And it says, you know, I can't read it. We're out of time. But the point is, it's just one of these things that we're in a situation now that we have to choose what we want to do as far as what we put into our body, like Austin said earlier on the show. And so, you know, as long as we still have the option here with organic, I mean, buy a bag of frozen organic vegetables for a few dollars. Okay. You buy rotisserie chicken for $10. It's hormone free. I mean, that's a pretty cheap way to live. It's very inexpensive and it's very convenient, by the way. It only takes a few minutes. And, you know, you dump some mustard into it.
Hot sauce and mustard.
Hot sauce and mustard. Get a little bit of chipotle seasoning, a little bit of salt. Got a pretty good tasting product. But then again, the problem with it is it's every meal, every day, all the time. But it will make you lose weight. It will cut you up. It will make you lean. And that's why I try to eat that way a lot.
Once you grasp the concept that food is simply there to be a tool,
Not a crutch.
Not a crutch.
Well, it is kind of a crutch. You have to do it to eat.
Well, yeah, but it's not really a crutch. It's a necessity. I wouldn't call it a crutch because
you don't have to be entertained by your meal.
Yeah.
All the time.
Everybody.
But
gets,
I tell you what.
Everybody argues.
But I do like to go out and have a good steak every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Good burgers. There's nothing wrong with that.
With some mashed potatoes.
Well, and the thing that we talked about. Yes.
Yeah, I
like mashed potatoes.
Me too.
The thing about it is, and we talked about this so many times, is that, you know, getting some preservatives or toxins or compounds like that in your diet occasionally, your body can process some of it out. Let's be real. You know, you go eat a big cheeseburger, Five Guys burger occasionally on a rare occasion. It's not the healthiest thing under any circumstances to eat. I'm not endorsing or telling you to eat it. However, if you're exercising pretty regularly and you're keeping your body pretty clean, you can go and your body will process it. What happens is it's the over every single day repeated use of putting those toxins in your body nonstop.
I had Häagen-Dazs the other night.
Did you?
It was delicious. But that
what flavor did you get?
I got that mint chocolate chip thing.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem is I dumped a bunch of chocolates off.
Chocolate syrup. Yeah.
Oh, I was up all night. Couldn't sleep with the caffeine.
Oh, yeah, of course. And the sugar, too. The sugar wakes you up.
I think this is a true confession right now. I think I'm kind of like, you know, doing a confession to the audience. But I tell you what, though. I only had a little one. But, you know, I kind of.
The sugar will keep you up, man.
A little one, but I kind of.
I
pretty much ate most of it.
Little gallon.
But it kept me up all night. And I thought to myself, what am I doing? You're more disciplined than this. And I looked in the refrigerator there, the chicken and vegetables.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, more chicken and vegetables.
Go.
Oh, okay.
It's life.
And so, but I try to keep that stuff out of the house.
Oh, yeah. You'd be shocked, man. I've done it multiple times. I've made the same mistake. You eat ice cream before you go to bed, you're not going to sleep good.
It's too much sugar.
The sugar, man, it keeps you up all night.
And the chocolate.
And the chocolate. Even if you don't eat chocolate, you eat a bunch of vanilla.
Oh, I dumped the chocolate to it.
Of course you did.
Because I took the lid off the chocolate thing to pour it in there.
Oh, it poured too much in there?
Yeah, I had to pour most of it out, but it's still too much chocolate. Why am I telling you?
What? Bro, don't eat more Häagen-Dazs tonight. You need to sleep. I appreciate you, my friends. You guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. Told you guys earlier the necessity and need on a regular basis to maintain vitamin D levels. If you don't know what they are, get them tested on your next blood test. We talked about
really
it all the time.
Important.
It's really important. Yeah, have a baseline because the levels don't change very fast. If you're at a level, say you're at 50, you know, on your blood levels, you can raise them up and check the next 6 months and continue to take the D3, and you'll see them probably like 65 or 70, which is a great range for them. But they continually fluctuate very slowly. So be sure to monitor them on a
regular basis. D3, K2.
Yeah, with K2. The K2 makes sure you don't have
the calcium out of the arteries.
Yes. So again, you guys need anything, healthmasters.com, give us a call. On sale for over 20% off right now. Be sure to email us and follow us on team_healthmasters on Instagram. We're following up with everybody on there, trying to answer everybody's questions the best we possibly can. So thank you for that support. Follow us on there at team_healthmasters. You guys have a fantastic evening, my friends, and enjoy yourself.
And chicken and vegetables rather than...
Don't eat ice cream before nighttime.
Love you guys.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.